more of Lake Effect now. I'm Mitch Teich. Sometimes during the hustle and bustle of city living, people need to escape. Some escape to the country roads of Wisconsin, looking for just that serenity. Photojournalist Craig Schreiner went looking for a picture for a story one day, and he turned to the country. Serendipity came to play when he saw a farmer baling hay one afternoon. He got out, captured the moment, and made a new friend of the farmer, Jim Lamberty. After a year's worth of photographing Lamberty and his family's daily life, Schreiner compiled his book, One Small Farm, Photographs of a Wisconsin Way of Life. Schreiner spoke with Lake Effect's Eleanor Peterson more about how the project came to be.
Well, I was actually looking for a photo for a Saturday newspaper, and I worked at the Wisconsin State Journal at the time, and sometimes stories just don't have pictures to go with them. They're stories about meetings or non-visual stories, and we need a picture to stand by itself, to kind of anchor a page and be of interest to readers. So photojournalists go out and try to find those pictures, and it's a challenge to find good ones, because if you can't find anything compelling or visual, it's just filler, and we don't like that. So I was looking, and I often go outside the city to the country to look, and it was late afternoon, and I had just turned onto a small county road, and I saw a man baling hay in a field. It was a sight that was somewhat reminiscent to me from my childhood growing up on a farm. He was using older equipment and pulling a baler and baling the smaller oblong bale that you don't see a lot of these days. You tend to see the giant round bales sitting out in the field. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a beautiful sight. He was on a hillside, and it was late afternoon, and the sun was getting kind of golden and rosy, and I stopped to photograph, and he saw me, and he may have waved at me a little bit, but he just kept right on. And so I made the pictures, and then he finished baling, and we stopped and talked, and he told me his story. The story was that he and his brother had grown up on this farm all their lives. It was 180 acres, and they have 40 dairy cows, and started by their parents. Their mother was still living on the farm with them, and that's the way they'd been living all of their lives. And something just made me instinctively ask, can I come to the farm and spend time and photograph you? And that was Jim, mm-hmm. Jim Lamberty, and his response was, sure, come anytime. And that's how it started. Didn't actually get there until the following February.
So it was, I think I saw that the pictures were from 2010, so this would have been 2009?
Yes, we met in 2009, and we started working on the project in 2010 in the winter.
So what was it that made you stick with the Lambertys instead of just moving on to some other project?
Well, I think because of my own background, my awareness of farming and what I knew about farming and farmers and how it's changing, something just told me that this was special and something that I wanted to spend time with.
So then what did it entail for you to follow this farming family around throughout the entire year?
It did take a little bit of perseverance. I still had to work full-time at my regular newspaper job. I also teach photojournalism at the local technical college, and I wanted to try to be part of my children's lives and my wife's life, too. So I was in and out of the Lamberty farm just pretty frequently over a year and a half. I would go to try to document significant things. I would be in touch with Jim and Gordy by phone, find out what they were doing, and I would just stop at the farm as much as I could.
Because with a lot of these pictures, they're milking the cows, and they milk in the morning and they milk at night, so you must have been out there pretty early.
That's right. A lot of it always started before sunrise and ended after sunset. That was their life, not my life. It was that routine for them 365 days a year. When I first met them, they had never had a vacation. I got to think of it as, well, the more time I spent with them, it reminded me of something that I read once. Let me just back up a little farther. Something that I heard in a radio interview once with the author Norman McLean, who the listeners may know as being the author of A River Runs Through It. It was made into a movie in the 90s, I think. But in this radio interview, he talked about growing up, his own boyhood in Montana, and he used the words toughness and beauty together in a sentence. And he said something like, it was a tough kind of beauty. And I thought of that phrase a lot when I went to the farm, because that really was their life. The days were long. There was really no leisure time as we know leisure time, but the trade-off was the beauty, the animals, and the land.
So then, as a photojournalist, what is the difference between capturing rural scenes versus capturing the urban scenes? Because I can see with both places, there is a tough kind of beauty to each one, but what is it about you wanting to photograph real version of the tough kind of beauty?
Well, I'm just always interested in people, rural people, urban people. They all have their stories. Everybody has a story. This was a unique story to me, but I've always been motivated by people's stories. Oftentimes there are stories of people who are trying to overcome something in their lives, something that's happening to them that they're trying to recover from and prevail and persevere. And those are the kinds of stories that really appealed to me. This had a country element, a rural element, but it was a unique story about people in the same way that a lot of stories are.
And with these stories, especially with this one, One Small Farm book that you've compiled, there are a lot of strong themes. And one of the strongest themes is the idea of nostalgia and tradition. And when you were talking about how you came across the Lamberty farm and he was using this old equipment, that it just as an example of nostalgia and tradition. But with this farming family, living at home with their mother, continued to do the same work with the same equipment that their father used nearly 60 years ago. With one of the photo captions, you say that their methods are traditional and labor-intensive. So why aren't they changing the technology that they use? Wouldn't it make it easier for them to do their work?
Well, I don't think so. I think they would be the first to say that their equipment really fit the size of the farm. You would not need a 22-row planter on a 180-acre farm. And they'd be the first to tell you that nostalgia is not the reason they do what they do. They have a mix of equipment, some of the equipment, the tractors their father had, and that means a lot to them. They do have an attachment, a sentimental attachment to the equipment, but that's not why they have used it on the farm. It's practical, it's functional, and it's what they choose to do.
And what I like about that is that they can fix almost all their mechanical problems actually on the farm. And they have the skills to be able to repair the machines. And with the clothes, there are some pictures in here where you take pictures of Marie's jacket or Jim's jacket where the patches are just all over the jacket. And I find that fascinating. Instead of getting new clothes, they're fixing it up. They're fixing up what they had.
The work clothes are for work, mm-hmm. and very little was discarded. Thrift and avoiding debt is a very important part of their success.
With one of the prominent quotations in the book is, people's lives are written on the fields of the old farms. What story is this book telling?
It's a book about work, mainly, and their attachment to the land that they grew up on. The story is about care for land and care for animals, mm-hmm. in a very personal but a practical way.
And with the epilogue, you said that you followed up with them, and at that point they had decided to sell off their dairy cows.
Late September of 2012, they found a young farmer from near Darlington who was looking to take on a dairy herd and found the financing to buy the cows. And they had, the Lambertys wanted to keep the herd together. They had decided, this was a long decision, and I remember this coming up from time to time when I would be there, that it was time to sell the dairy herd because of health reasons. And then this was nothing catastrophic. It was just that it was just years and years of long work, long hours. It's hard on the body. It's hard on the back. It's hard on the knees. It's tough work. So Jim and Gordy were looking to sell the herd. In 2012, the drought hit and made it impractical because of the drought, farmers were having a hard time finding feed for cattle. Feed was very expensive, and livestock was being sold very cheaply. But Jim and Gordy had worked so long at putting this herd together, and they'd taken such good care of it, they weren't going to split it up, and they didn't want to let it go cheaply. But in September of 2012, they were surprised when a young farmer contacted them. He was from near Darlington. He wanted to start a herd, and do the same kinds of things with it that they had done. He obtained the financing, and so they did sell the herd at that time. However, they're feeding young stock, Holstein heifers and steers, which are raised as beef cattle and not dairy cattle. And so they're a lot less labor intensive.
Putting in that epilogue, it kind of shows that you still follow up. What are the Lambertys doing nowadays?
I do. I was there a few weeks ago when they were baling hay. They're primarily crop farming and feeding their stock for their beef cattle. The daily milkings, of course, are not going on anymore, but the farm is still going on.
Have they taken a vacation yet?
Well, Gordy and Vicky have taken a couple of vacations. Jim and Gordy have gone fishing. Jim goes to Madison to a Mallards game now and then, a baseball game. And so, yeah, they're finding some time to enjoy their lives and get away from time to time.
Good. And then what's new with you? What's going to happen with you next?
Well, I'm nothing like this book has really ever happened to me before, and I'm just kind of enjoying that for now. We had a reception to launch the book a couple of weeks ago at the community center in Pine Bluff, which is near the farm, and a lot of the Lambertys' friends and relatives from years back just came to honor them and to just kind of it was an occasion for celebration. And I'm just happy for whatever good can come from this. I'm happy that the story is preserved for posterity. And I always try to keep a project going along with whatever else I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I don't have one right at the moment. I don't know if it will be another agriculture-related project or what it will be. But I'm thinking that that documentary photography and photojournalism will always be a great way for me to try to tell stories.
Craig Schreiner, thank you so much for being on Lake Effect.
Thank you for asking me. I've enjoyed it.
Photojournalist Craig Schreiner spoke with Lake Effect's Eleanor Peterson about his new book, One Small Farm, Photographs of a Wisconsin Way of Life. Schreiner will chat about the book this evening at Books & Company in Oconomowoc. Speaking of Wisconsin books, we'll take another break and then meet writer Dale Kushner. Her latest novel is called The Conditions of Love. This is Lake Effect on WUWM.